Shalom, and thank you for listening at BethEmmanuel.org. If you enjoy the teachings from Beth Emmanuel, do us a favor and share the links with your friends. Like us on Facebook and tell your friends about the things you are learning at Beth Emmanuel. Help us grow the message.
Yeshua had a reputation as a miracle worker. I should say, he has a reputation as a miracle worker because he still does miracles today, every day, through the agency of his disciples on earth and the spirit that he bequeathed to them. But when he was among his disciples, he had a reputation as a miracle worker. After his ascension, his disciple Peter said to the people in the Beit HaMikdash, he declared, "Men of Israel, listen to these words. Yeshua the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God, with miracles and wonders and signs, which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know." Acts 2:22. So Peter says that the miracles and wonders and signs were performed by God through him, and that the miracles, wonders, and signs attested to the people about him. Peter also says later on to Cornelius, the Roman centurion, he says, God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Acts 10:38. I think it's significant that our sources in early Jewish literature never deny that Yeshua worked miracles, or that his disciples also worked miracles. For example, there's the story of his disciple Yaakov of Kfar Sakanya, who heals in the name of Yeshua, and Rabbi Yishmael forbids it. It says in the Talmud in Tractate Avodah Zarah 27b, Ben Dama, the son of Rabbi Yishmael's sister, was bitten by a snake. Yaakov of Kfar Sakanya came to heal him, but Rabbi Yishmael did not allow it. Ben Dama said he could bring a scriptural proof that it was permitted, but he died before completing the argument. Another example, there's the polemical and anti-Christian, anti-missionary tract, Toldot Yeshu, which admits that Yeshua did miracles, signs, and wonders, but it explains that he performed those miracle signs and wonders through magic and sorcery. The Talmud is completely confused about the identity of Yeshua, conflating traditions about some other fellow named Yeshua from some other time, some fellow named Yeshu ben Stada or ben Pandara. Even so, when it accuses him of working miracles by means of sorcery learned in Egypt, we know the intended target of the sorcery allegation is Yeshua of Nazareth. We know this on the basis of parallel contemporary literature, that is, Toldot Yeshu, and the Roman writer Celsus, who in his despicable book, True Discourse, related the same tradition found in Toldot Yeshu about Yeshua. He builds it out a little bit. Here's how it reads in his book. Born in a certain Jewish village of a poor woman of the country who gained her sustenance by spinning, and who was turned out of doors by her husband, a carpenter by trade, because she was convicted of adultery. That after being driven away by her husband and wandering about for a time, she disgracefully gave birth to Jesus, an illegitimate child, who, having hired himself out as a servant in Egypt on account of his poverty, and having there acquired some miraculous powers on which the Egyptians greatly pride themselves, returned to his own country, highly elated on account of them, and by means of these proclaimed himself a god. Origen against Celsus 28. In any case, the point is not to argue over the authenticity or antiquity of these sorcery allegations in early anti-Christian polemics. The point is that while engaging in polemical arguments with Jewish believers and Christians, the Jewish community did not deny the miracles of Yeshua. And how could it deny the miracles? How could the miracles be denied when so many people witnessed them, and when his disciples and the disciples of his disciples still performed miracles in his name? Instead, the best strategy was to deflect the evidence by suggesting that miracles can also be performed through sorcery, which is true. Even the New Testament warns about lying signs and wonders and miracles performed through unclean spirits. The sorcery allegations were already being thrown at Yeshua while he was still teaching. They said, "This man casts out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons," Matthew 12:24. Yeshua refuted the charge with this argument. He said, "Look, any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and any city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? If I, by Beelzebul, cast out demons, well, by whom do your disciples do exorcisms? For this reason, they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, well, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." His argument carries an implication, and the implication is this: if I'm not using sorcery, and obviously I'm not, then it's by God's Spirit. And if that's the case, okay, the Gospel of John presents the miracles as direct evidence that we should believe that Yeshua is the Messiah. The very first miracle he performs in the Gospel of John, turning the water into wine, is recorded as the first of Yeshua's miraculous signs. The Gospel narrative continues then with a string of big miracles that are supposed to persuade the reader that Yeshua is definitely the Messiah. New Testament scholars speculate that one of the sources employed in the composition of the Gospel of John may have been just a collection of such signs, called a signs gospel. The importance of the miracles as evidence comes to the forefront of the story in the confrontation between the Beit Din and the young man born blind but healed by Yeshua. They say to the young man, they say, "This man is a sinner. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we don't know where he is from." The young man replies impertinently. He says, "Well, here is an amazing thing, that you do not know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him. Since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." John 9, 30-33. Okay, that's his argument. He's a teenager. The men on the Beit Din are not persuaded. They're not persuaded by his argument, and they're not persuaded by the miracle. Sometime later, Yeshua says, "If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have sin, but now they have seen." John 15:24. He says to his disciples, "Believe in God, and believe also in me. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. If you don't believe that I am sent by the Father, at least believe in the miracles." So this indicates that in the Gospel of John, the miracles of Yeshua are supposed to provide us with evidence of something. They're supposed to, in some way, validate Yeshua. And to this point, the Gospel of John concludes in no uncertain terms. It says, "Many other signs Yeshua performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these have been written so that you may believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in his name." John 20, 30-31. And there you go. That seems to wrap up reason number 7 for believing that Yeshua is the Messiah. Here it is, reason number 7, the testimony of the miraculous signs that he performed. But not so fast. Just as we're about to wrap it up, here comes Maimonides, like the Detective Columbo. There's just one thing that's troubling me. Maimonides comes along and says, "There's just 3 things that are troubling me." First of all, Maimonides makes the case that it's not necessary for the Messiah to perform miracles at all. He says in Hilchot Malachim, the Laws of Kings, Do not suppose that the Messiah must perform miraculous signs and wonders or bring new things into the world, or that he must be able to resurrect the dead or things like this. Not so. For behold, Rabbi Akiva was one of the greatest sages of the Mishnah. But he was a follower of King Ben Koziva, that's Bar Kokhba, and he claimed that he was King Messiah. He and all the sages of the generation considered Ben Koziva to be King Messiah, until he was slain, because of the sins he committed. As soon as he was slain, his followers realized that he was not the Messiah, but the sages never asked him to perform a sign or a wonder. Hilchot Malachim 11:3. So Bar Kokhba, Koziva, didn't perform any miracles, and Rabbi Akiva came along and proclaimed him the Messiah. And that should prove that you don't need to do miracles to be the Messiah. It's not a criteria for being the Messiah. Second, in another place, Maimonides warns that miracles do not validate a prophet. He says, "The Jews did not believe in Moses, our teacher, because of the wonders that he performed. Whenever anyone's belief is based on wonders, the commitment of his heart has shortcomings, because it's possible to perform a wonder through magic or sorcery. All the wonders performed by Moses in the desert were not intended to serve as proof of the legitimacy of his prophecy. They were performed for a purpose. It was necessary to drown the Egyptians, so he split the sea and sank them in it. We needed food, so he provided us with manna. We were thirsty, so he split the rock. Korach's band mutinied against him, so the earth swallowed them up. The same applies to the other wonders. What is the source of our belief in Moses? The revelation at Mount Sinai. Our eyes saw, and not a stranger's. Our ears heard, and not another's. There was fire, thunder, and lightning. He entered thick clouds. The voice spoke to him, and we heard, 'Moses, Moses, go tell them,' and so forth." Maimonides goes on to explain that the only reason we really believe in Moses is because of one specific sign that God gave him. God said to Moses in Exodus 3:12, "This will be your sign that I sent you. When you take the people out of Egypt, you will serve God on this mountain." And all of that happened. Moses took the people out of Egypt and brought them to Mount Sinai, and God appeared to the nation and spoke to the nation at Mount Sinai, and they worshiped God at Mount Sinai. Maimonides says, "Thus, we do not believe in any prophet who arises after Moses, our teacher, because of the wonder he performs alone, as if to say, he performs a wonder, and we listen to everything he says." That's the second reason. Second problem, Maimonides says. Third objection that Maimonides raises to reason number 7. Maimonides comes along and explains that the Torah itself warns us against a false prophet or seducer who comes and performs signs and wonders and miracles. It says, "If a prophet arises and attempts to dispute Moses' prophecy by performing great signs and wonders, we should not listen to him. We know with certainty that his miracles are performed through magic or sorcery, because the prophecy of Moses, our teacher, is not dependent on wonders, as if we needed to compare these wonders against those wonders. Rather, we saw and we heard with our own eyes and ears. Therefore, the Torah even states that if such a sign or wonder is performed, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet." Deuteronomy 13:3, Mishnah Torah, Foundations of Torah, chapter 8. On the other hand, Maimonides says that if the prophet is an established prophet, which we've talked about before, we heed him when he performs a sign or a wonder because Moses commanded us to do. In that case, it doesn't matter if we think it's a legitimate sign or wonder or not. It's a mitzvah to listen to this prophet, even though we don't know whether the wonder is true or performed by magic or sorcery. So in such a case, it's not the sign or wonder that validates the prophet, rather the Torah validates the sign and the wonder by first validating the prophet. So if the would-be prophet contradicts Moses, or let me break it down and make it simple for you. If the would-be prophet contradicts Moses or teaches apostasy from the Torah, his miracles don't count. He does a miracle, you can automatically presume it's sorcery or trickery. On the other hand, if it's an established prophet like Isaiah, Jeremiah, or Ezekiel that falls in the category of a prophet like Moses, who is consistent with Moses, he teaches like Moses, he teaches the Torah, and he performs a sign or a wonder, well, then it doesn't matter what you think about his sign or wonder. It doesn't matter if you think it's legitimate or not. It's a mitzvah to obey that prophet. All of this is to say, Maimonides is not impressed by miracles. So let me summarize these three objections from Maimonides, because it seems like they create some problems for reason number 7 for believing that Yeshua is the Messiah, the testimony of the miraculous signs that he performed. So he brought three objections. Number 1, there's no criteria for the Messiah to perform miracles or raise the dead. Number 2, not even Moses was validated by miracles. He was validated by accomplishing the redemption. Number 3, any miracle worker who contradicts the Torah or uses his miracles as evidence to invalidate the Torah of Moses is automatically disqualified, and his miracles can be assumed to be sorcery and not signs from God. Okay, those are Maimonides' three objections for using the miracles of Yeshua as evidence that he's the Messiah. Let's answer each one of these in order. Number 1, Maimonides says there's no criteria for the Messiah to perform miracles or raise the dead or something. That's true. That's actually true. The only biblical criteria for the Messiah is that he is a Torah scholar from the line of David, that he redeems Israel. Maimonides spells out the steps of the redemption as inspiring Israel to repent, to return to the Torah, fights the wars of the Lord, ingathers the exiles, and rebuilds the temple. That's what it is to be the Messiah. That's fair. When someone accomplishes those things, he's definitely the Messiah. At that point, it doesn't require any belief. But look, that was never the question. We were not asking what the criteria is. We know what the criteria for the Messiah is. The question about Yeshua of Nazareth is this: do we believe that Yeshua is the guy who ultimately is going to accomplish the criteria that will make it obvious that he's the Messiah? Yes. Yes, we believe he is. That's why we're called believers. It's pretty much the same way that Akiva believed that Bar Kokhba was the Messiah. So Rabbi Akiva was a believer in Bar Kokhba, that Bar Kokhba was the Messiah, even though Bar Kokhba had not accomplished the redemption. But Akiva believed that given enough time, Bar Kokhba would accomplish the redemption and all of the messianic criteria. But the fact that Bar Kokhba performed no miracles actually does not strengthen his case for being the Messiah. So not performing miracles isn't an indication that someone is the Messiah. I also perform no miracles at all. Yet somehow, I'm not the Messiah, and nobody thinks that I am. So the miracles of Yeshua indicate that he's not an ordinary guy like me, or like Bar Kokhba. So that requires us to presume that he was a sorcerer or something else. Second thing, Maimonides' second objection. He says that not even Moses was validated by miracles, signs, and wonders, that he was validated by accomplishing the redemption. Yeah, okay, that's sort of true, I guess. It's true that once Moses accomplished the redemption, there was no longer any question, any doubt that Moses was sent by God to lead Israel out of Egypt because he had done it. After that, there's no question about belief. But what about before he accomplished that? Remember what Moses said at the burning bush in Exodus 4:1? He says, "What if they will not believe me or listen to what I say? For they may say, the Lord has not appeared to you." So what did God do? He gave him miraculous signs and wonders which he was to perform in their midst. the sign of the staff that turned into a serpent, the sign of the leprous hand. And then he said, if they will not believe you or heed the witness of the first sign, they may believe the witness of the last sign. But if they will not believe even these two signs or heed what you say, then you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground, and the water which you take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground. And of course, that third sign launches the 10 plagues. But this is the same position that we are in with Yeshua. And the question is not about believing if he is the Messiah or not after the final redemption has already occurred. The question is about whether or not we believe that God has sent him and that he is the Messiah prior to performing the final redemption. And just as God put miraculous signs into the hands of Moses so that they would believe that God had sent him to redeem them, he puts miraculous signs into the hands of Yeshua. What's more, we should point out that even after the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai, Moses uses miraculous signs to authenticate his authority. So it's not actually the case that Moses does not use signs and miracles to authenticate his office, as Maimonides suggests. In this week's Torah portion alone, Parshat Korach, he delivers four signs to authenticate his authority, or the authority of Aaron and the Kohanim from the tribe of Levi. Number one, the miracle of the earth opening its mouth. He says, if these men die the death of all men, or if they suffer the fate of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord brings about an entirely new thing, and the ground opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that is theirs, and they descend alive into Sheol, then you will understand that these men have spurned the Lord. All right, that's Numbers 16:29-30. So if his intention was merely to remove these men from the assembly because they were mutineers, couldn't he have done so by other means without testing the Lord? By relying upon a miracle? No, but the point is that he's making a demonstration. He's using the miracle to validate himself. The offering of the incense is used to validate whether it's the exclusive privilege of Aaron and the priesthood or not to offer incense. He says to the Levites in Numbers 16:17, he says, each of you take his fire pan and put incense on it, and each of you bring his censer before the Lord. 250 fire pans. Also, you and Aaron shall each bring his fire pan. And then he prays, Lord, do not accept their offering. So once again, his intention is not merely to remove these men from the assembly, which he could have done by other means, without testing the Lord by relying upon a miracle. Instead, he's relying upon a miracle to validate. Number three, he sends Aaron with the censer of incense to stop the plague. Now, here we have a miracle that is out of necessity, out of need. Like Maimonides was saying, it's a miracle out of compassion for the people, not a deliberate attempt to authenticate Aaron's role, but nevertheless, it authenticates Aaron's role. It accomplishes that he's the one who's able to stop the plague. The miracle of the incense proves that Aaron is the right man for the job of high priest. So then, Moses collects the staffs of the 12 tribes and shuts them up inside the sanctuary. And the staff of Aaron blossoms, comes back to life, resurrects, so to speak. And this miracle authenticates Aaron's authority and God's choice of the tribe of Levi. And the Lord even explains the meaning of the miracle. It says, thus will I lessen from upon myself the grumblings of the sons of Israel who are grumbling against you. So it's right in the text that this is an authenticating miracle that's meant to validate his role and his identity, the role and identity of Aaron. Okay, so that's number two. The third objection that Maimonides raised was this. Maimonides says that any miracle worker who contradicts the Torah or uses his miracles as evidence to invalidate the Torah of Moses is automatically disqualified. You don't even need to think about this. His miracles can automatically be assumed to be sorcery and not signs from God. And this is based on exactly what it says in the Torah in Deuteronomy 13. And we've already seen that some sketchy early sources resorted to this argument to counter Yeshua and his followers, accusing him of practicing sorcery that he learned in Egypt, and so forth. But we also know it from the gospel text itself, that this charge, this allegation, this sorcery charge was already being lodged against Yeshua. Even while he was still teaching, they were saying, this man casts out demons only by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons. And Yeshua countered that sorcery charge, as we saw. Okay, so Maimonides brings up the sorcery allegation because he is specifically countering the claims of Christianity. He doesn't say so, but it's very obvious. In this regard, Maimonides is not reacting against Yeshua of Nazareth as presented in the Gospels, but he is reacting to the mischaracterization of Yeshua as presented in the Christian Jesus. Yeshua mischaracterized as an apostate who cancels the law, cancels the Torah, replaces the covenant with Israel, and replaces the people of Israel with a new people, and abolishes the Torah and the prophets. So if such a miracle worker were to arise and perform miracles as evidence that he's been sent by God to teach that the Torah has been canceled, and therefore Jews need no longer observe the covenant or walk according to the commandments, then such a prophet would certainly be a false prophet. And his miracles could be dismissed as deceitful signs and wonders that come from the other side, the lying miracles of demons. Ironically, that is the church's argument, that Jewish people should quit being Jewish and quit keeping the Torah, and they should believe in Jesus and know that he is the Messiah, he is the Christ, and they should leave Judaism and leave their Jewishness and leave the Torah of Moses. They should leave all of that behind because he did all these miracles. So he did all these miracles to prove that you shouldn't be Jewish anymore. And this is how the church absolutely disqualifies Yeshua of Nazareth from any potential of being recognized by Israel as the Messiah of Israel. And it's been doing this for 2,000 years. This is what the teaching here at Beth Emanuel is all about, is trying to correct this horrendous mischaracterization of Yeshua. This is what the teaching of First Fruits of Zion is all about, is trying to correct this terrible mischaracterization of Yeshua. Because as you know, that's not Yeshua of Nazareth. Yeshua of Nazareth taught allegiance to the Torah and proclaimed only a message of repentance, urging Israel to return to the Torah and to the commandments in a spirit of love for God and love for one's fellow, love for your neighbor, Ahava Yisrael, saying, do not think that I have come to abolish the Torah and the prophets, and so on and so forth. So while this point, that Maimonides' third point, actually does utterly disqualify the miracle signs and wonders of the traditional Jesus of the church, it in no way disqualifies the miracle signs and wonders of a godly, Torah-observant rabbi who teaches in accordance with the Torah of Moses and is calling Israel with a message of repentance. And there were many such miracle workers in the days of the Master and the days of the Apostles. Righteous Torah observant men such as the Galilean Chassidim, like Choni the circle drawer, who sat in a circle to break the drought, and Hanina ben Dosa, who performed many miracles similar to those of Yeshua, such as healings and so forth, and Choni's grandson Abba Hilkiah, whose prayers were always answered, and his grandson Hanan Hanechba, of whom it says, when the rain was needed, the children would pull at his garments and say, Abba, Abba, give us rain. And then he would pray, Master of the universe, do it for these children who cannot distinguish between the Abba who gives rain and the Abba who does not give rain. Beautiful stories. But it's fair to point out that these men of deeds, first century pious miracle workers that they were, did not perform miracles to validate anything or to prove anything to anyone. They performed miracles as a response to need. Like Maimonides said, all the wonders performed by Moses in the desert were not intended to serve as proof of legitimacy of his prophecy, but rather were performed for a purpose. They responded to needs that they encountered, or as the miracles came as answers to petitions for divine help that were put before them. And I contend that the same is also true of the miracles of Yeshua. Although God invested him with miracles performed through the Spirit that rested upon him, Yeshua did not perform the miracles to prove his office as the Messiah or to authenticate himself. And he doesn't really ask us to believe in him on the basis of the miracles he performed. I believe there's two reasons that Yeshua performed miracles, and we'll look at those in the next teaching. But for now, let's take a look at what we have accomplished so far in this teaching. We've established from Jewish sources that Yeshua did have a reputation as a miracle worker, so much so that the only way for his opponents to argue against him was to accuse him of practicing sorcery. And we've seen that the Gospel of John wants us to believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, not on the basis of his having accomplished the redemption yet, because he hasn't, but on the basis of the miracles that he performed, the signs that he did. And we have seen that Maimonides is not impressed with that logic. And he raises three objections to the idea that miracles might be the basis for someone being the Messiah. And we have answered his three objections. But we're not done with reason number 7 for believing that Yeshua is the Messiah. In the next teaching, we'll wrap it up. We'll wrap up reason number 7 by investigating the reason for Yeshua's miracles. And we'll come back to that passage from John that says, "Believe in me, that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Otherwise, at least, believe because of the works themselves." And we'll come back to that passage that says, "These have been written so that you may believe that Yeshua is the Messiah." And by the end of that, hopefully, we will be satisfied with reason number 7 for believing that Yeshua is the Messiah, which is the testimony of the miraculous signs that he performed. Take on my yoke and learn from me and find rest for your soul.